Welcome to the Now Believe podcast.
So good to have you here. I think it's an amazing testament to each of us, to each of you really, that you're even here. At the beginning of a new year, at a course called Burning Witness.
Hallelujah! Yeah!
I think you're making the Father, I just feel like the Father's excitement and pride. You're just availing yourself. We're all availing ourselves, really. For such a time as this. Fearing not tomorrow, seizing the day, and saying, Lord, here I am, send me. However that looks. And I really believe that God wants to make you a burning witness. And I guess we're going to be looking at what that really means. Off the top of my head, it's a witness to heaven. It's a witness to Jesus, and it's one that is burning hot. Whichever field you're in, whatever it is that we do, that you do, we want our lives to witness heaven in a way that's not lukewarm, in a way that's not cold, in a way that's to the max. Because those are the commands of the Master. And actually, we're saved. Is anyone here saved? Some people didn't put their hands up. We can have an altar call a bit later for those. No, but it's very important as we approach a lot of the material we're going to look at that we have a real understanding. I was saying to Pete, as I was kind of mulling over the whole reason for doing a course like this, for even wanting to put on a course like this, it was actually Pete's idea to call it Burning Witness, and when I heard it, I just loved it. Yeah, salvation, that was it. You know, saved is not a word you always hear Christians use. It's almost like it's too dramatic for people to use. They say, I'm a Christian, or that I believe. I think particularly in the very religious church, you hear people say, you know, I believe in God. Well done, you're in line with the demons and Satan. Amen? Did you hear that? Because you didn't hear that. Sorry, it's multitasking. The Bible says very clearly the demons believe in God. We know that Satan does. To believe in God gets you nowhere. Now, yes, once you're saved, it accredits and accounts to what? Righteousness, doesn't it? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. That's once we're in the kingdom and we're walking, yes? But as a declaration of our status with God, it doesn't mean zilch. Okay, the Muslims believe in God. The demons believe in God. What am I saying? I'm saying that we're having an understanding that we're saved, and in John, the book of John talks about from what? The wrath of God, which is coming on all mankind. I mean, my goodness me, to imagine Almighty God's wrath. I mean, it's hard enough to conceive of Almighty God, let alone his wrath. Let alone some of the things we see and hear Jesus talking about in the Gospels. So why would you want to be a burning witness? Because you wouldn't want anyone to not be saved. Because what is coming on mankind is horrendous. It's also glorious. It's both and. It's hell and it's heaven. It's glory forever. Forever. And it starts right now. The eternal life starts right now. You know, the checkbook of heaven is open now. The house is being built. Your house, your mansion is being built, even tonight as you worship. It's a staggering concept. But listen, you just got blasted by the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit do? He bore witness with your spirit that this whole thing is true. Amen? Romans 8:16. It's not only bearing witness, which is a Greek word, a sort of legal word, that it's a sure thing, it's a guarantee that what I'm talking about is true. That Holy Spirit kissing your soul, kissing your spirit, like no human being, like nothing physical can. It's the deepest to deep we can all experience. And it wrecks us, doesn't it? And that's why we're here. And our hearts are beginning to break for those that don't have that. But we need to also, we need to look at his word. We have his spirit and we have his word. We need to marry them. But really, I just want to encourage you at the start of this course. We're going to look at some really fun things. We're going to look at the anointing today. We're going to look at the fire of God, the fear of God, preaching the gospel, what that actually is. I didn't even know what preaching the gospel was, really, until about a year ago, and I was already preaching it. But there are some of these things, I think, are things that we don't necessarily look at teaching-wise. And we're going to talk about them together because, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to talk. We need to go there together. God will meet you where you're at. God will meet you at the degree of hunger, the degree of openness you have before him. He's looking at all our hearts and he's responding. And as we open ourselves up, as we say to God, I just want to hear your voice. I want to make myself available. I want to know where you want me. Then he'll do the rest. This is all by grace. We don't kind of become burning hot just because sort of we have to and we force ourselves into it. What we do is avail ourselves and say, actually, I really love spending time with you. And I really love your presence. And when you hang around a consuming fire long enough, it rubs off. It smears off. Which is the anointing. The ointment. The oil of his power. Of his zeal. Of his fire. Of his boldness. Of his authority. Will just start to smear off you. And you'll just become hot. We're all earthen vessels. We're all just clay, aren't we? Actually. All of us. But if you hang around a fire, something happens. And all of us, I'm sure, have experienced that to some degree or other. But we need it again. You can't, you know. To just go to page 23, which is singled out. Because funnily enough, I feel like I'm going to spend most of the time on this page. I want to encourage you with the notes. There's lots of it. Don't let that worry you. Hopefully let it encourage you. Yes, we do. I don't know where I put them, but we do. And there's more here. With the notes, there's a lot of scripture in there. For those of you who have done a course before, I like to put as much scripture in as possible. I absolutely stand on the word of God. It's the only thing really I have in my life. It's not entirely true, but sounds so dramatic and holy, doesn't it? It's just not. I have to say, I build my life on the word of God right now. I love it. I love the word of God. It is my rock. It's becoming my rock. It's the only thing that I really trust, actually. It's the only. We'll all know that. When we're going through the battle of life, you know, why is this happening, God? Or what do I do about this? Increasingly, we'll be leaning towards, what does the Bible say? Because I feel like I can hold on to that. Does everyone know what I'm talking about? You know, and the Bible says that the entirety of the Bible is true. Psalm 119, 160. And the Bible says that the word of God is the truth and it sanctifies us and it changes us. So it's just a great thing to pack any subject with as much of the word of God as possible. But what I want to encourage you is that if I do speak out a lot of scripture, just don't feel like, you know, just wait for that one that God just touches, that rhema word, you know, because we have a lot of the logos in front of you and you've got the Bible. But God's going to speak something to you personally tonight. That's what he wants to do. That's the awesomeness. That's the genius of God. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly where I'm at tonight. And he knows what he wants to give you to eat for supper, and he knows what's right for you, and that'll be the thing to hold on to. Maybe lots of things, or maybe just one little thing that just quickens your spirit, that has the anointing on it, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So the other thing I want to say is that so we're doing this together. We're doing this together as a family, as a body of Christ, as new friends, as whatever, and we're saying, here we are, God, start of 2010, what does it mean to be a witness? How do I witness at work? How do I witness on the streets? What does your word say? Let's just for a second forget about maybe what we've learned in the church or from our church background, whatever it is, even what our, you know, our vicars or our pastorate leaders have said, and let's just say, Lord, what are you saying about this? Because that's the most important thing, isn't it? I think increasingly we live in a world where apparently the church is in certain places walked away from the model we have in the New Testament, to put it simply. So I believe we should have integrity as Christians, and as an act of worship, as an act of loving the Lord God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength and all our soul, we should say, what are you saying to me, Lord, about how I steward what you've given me? Because you died for this. And he wants his reward. So that we lay hold of that for which Jesus has laid hold of us, which is all good, because God is good. And so we just go with fresh eyes at what the Word of God is saying, and we debate it, we chew over it, we test, you know, we try the Word of God. We be good stewards, it says in the Bible, you know, studying to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's what Paul exhorted Timothy with. And you know, we're all young, we're all in that place where we can actually say, wow, God, I'm saved. I'm saved in my youth, and I've got an incredible amount of time ahead of me to do it, to really live, to really change nations. All of us have that potential. That's amazing, isn't it? So we're going to be going out on the streets as well, together. Just come out, we go to Soho, we, you know, feed the homeless, give tea, coffee, speak to people, pray for people, prophesy for people, pray for healing, preach in the streets, sing in the streets, whatever. Watch, pray, you know, whatever you feel you might like to do. I imagine, well, you know that it was in the course outline, so you're kind of ready for it, but I'm aware that, you know, we might all be at different levels, and for some people it might be, you know, I just want to watch and just see, or I just want to serve and do tea and coffee. But just encourage you to come out. When I first went out on the streets, you know, I found it really weird. I just felt weird. I felt like a bit of a freak. I felt so much in my flesh, just didn't enjoy it, this sort of purposeful mission into the streets. And but God just started to use me, you know. God just started to send different people, and you just see his power, you see his plans unfold in front of you. And there's an incredibly powerful thing, as you'll all know, I'm sure, about witnessing to people on the front line, in a supermarket, whatever it is. It makes you realize what your faith is about. And I believe a lot of caps are going to come off people, a lot of ceilings are going to be broken over the next 5 weeks. Because a lot of this is tied in with actually becoming who you are in Christ, really becoming what God wants you to be. It's not just about evangelism. When you start to operate and move in the witness of your true identity as a son or a daughter of God, it will affect everything. It'll affect your character in the workplace. It'll affect, you know, the kingdom of God is within us, and it plays out throughout all our lives. It's a holistic thing, you know. And so that's exciting. I just want to read this from John 5, 33 to 35. You have sent, this is on page 23. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. There's that word witness. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. Wow, you see, I wasn't planning on touching on that first bit, but I mean, he doesn't receive testimony from man. I mean, that's a dissertation in itself for British people, you know, who are very concerned with looking good around other people. Jesus didn't even receive it, didn't even receive any opinion about himself. It's amazing, isn't it? Wow. But I say these things that you may be saved. You see? Saved. Jesus came to what? Seek and save the lost. Luke 19:10. My food is to do the will of him who sent me, to finish that work. He said it's finished, didn't he? In John 19:30, he said that was it. That was his purpose. Talk about intentional. Talk about resolve. Talk about not looking to left nor right. Talk about the violence of his motivation. Sweating drops of blood to get to the place of purpose. He's our model. As the Father sent me, I send you. John 20:21. We're sent as little Jesuses. We're sent as these world changers. All of us. So what's going on? There's not enough Jesuses around. But yet we're all called to that place and greater things. John 14:12. These are the words of Jesus. And we have this witness of the Holy Spirit. We have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling within us, calling us to this life of incredible potential. Verse 35, he was the burning and shining lamp. John the Baptist, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. How are our lamps looking? How have we tended our lamps? Did you know that in the Spirit right now we're a lamp? We're a light. If you could see in the Spirit right now, we'd all have differing degrees of light. And if John the Baptist walked in here, it would be quite something, probably. In fact, the fear of God would probably come upon us. He was an amazing man. He was the burning and shining lamp prophesied by Isaiah. If Jesus walked in, well, God dwells in unapproachable light. God is light. Jesus was the light of the world. We're called to be the light of the world as well, just as Jesus was. How are our lamps looking? You see, you have to tend your lamp. We're going to look a little bit at the Old Testament and what the symbolism means of tending the lamps. Did you know that there's a lampstand at the throne of God right now? Seven lampstands, which is the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God. So the symbolism of the lamp and the fire is one we want to, I suppose, meditate on. Think about, how am I burning? Am I lukewarm? Am I cold? How do I feel? How much light is there on me? Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. So our spirits are like a lamp, searching all the inner depths of his heart. There's that Revelation 4:5. And Jesus says in Luke 12:35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Okay, so I just want to set that kind of foundation of, you know, how are we looking in the Spirit? What kind of level of brightness are we? Who are we receiving testimony from? What's our purpose? Do we know it? Let's think about it. Are we going after it with everything we've got? Are we laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of us? Do we have a jealousy? Do we have a zeal? All the things that God commands we have, in fact. You know, Jesus, one of the last things he said in Revelation 3:19 was, be zealous and repent. And I hear Christians saying, calm down. Or having that attitude of, you know, just calm down a bit. or saying patronizing things like, I remember when I was on fire like you. Comments like that are not helpful. They really aren't. They're from hell, comments like that. They're full of pride and full of apathy and slumber and things that are an abomination to God, really. You know, he vomits lukewarm out of his mouth because he's a lover and he's a passionate lover, and he showed that on the cross. So we just need to open ourselves to God and say, you know, I'm up for it. And most people here know that when they're not on fire for God, they're not happy. So it's not like God's a killjoy. He brings joy. He's the inventor of joy. It's kind of like, I heard someone describe that life when you're not on fire for God, it's like it's soggy somehow. It's just soggy. It's sort of fluffy, woolly. There's no edge to it. There's no, your soul begins to feel dry and dead. So there's a two-pronged encouragement here. One is that we need the fear of God and we need to obey his commands and get a lot of people saved in this nation through our ministries, which is our lives. The other is that it's all great fun. It's all really exciting. And I want some of it, actually. Who else wants some? You want some? All right, key scriptures, page one. John, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This is a key verse, Acts 10:38. You want to know this verse. Jesus was anointed. If he needed to be anointed, we need to be anointed. Amen? We've got to understand what the anointing is. A lot of people don't know what the anointing is. It's not talked about in many churches. We've actually squandered the anointing. We've grieved the prophets and the prophetic spirit. And we've built man-made systems and models to do church that are safer. The anointing's not safe, really. And so, but we need the anointing because Jesus needed it. We're going to look about what the anointing is. But interestingly, God anointed Jesus not only with the Holy Spirit, but also with power. And there'll be a place where we'll talk about the fact that some of us have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. We haven't received the power of God yet. We're not operating in the power of God yet. There are different levels of baptism, aren't there? There's different levels of spirit infilling. Some Christians, I use that word carefully, sort of don't talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, don't think it's important. But if you read in the Bible, it's absolutely vital to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be saved. That's salvation. That's in the door. That's on the doormat. But the question is, have you then been baptized in the Holy Spirit? We need to be a people who are baptized, as Pete prayed, as Pete exhorted us all the time. Every day, we're going to look at the fact that the priest tended the lamp every morning and every evening in order that it never went out, so that it burned continually. We need to be burning continually. You see, burning witness isn't some kind of, well, it is radical. What does radical mean? It means orthodox. It means at the root. It means throwing in no wool. That's why it's normal to raise the dead. Amen? These are normal things. They're just, you know, your boss tells you to do something, go and make 20 photocopies. You go and make 20 photocopies. Tells you to raise the dead, you raise the dead. They're commands of Jesus. It's normal. But because we've so, I don't know, but to put it simply, worshipped idols, we've gone out of our destiny, or our God ordained destinies. We've worshipped at pride. We've worshipped at the church. We've worshipped different things, unbelief. We've given them worth. We've valued them. We've adopted them, and so now we can't raise the dead. Now we can't do these things. But they're happening around the world with simple people. So we need to get simple. But you see, he was anointed with power and he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil. Let's just remind ourselves, sickness is an oppression of the devil. It's a work of the devil, and this verse shows it. Nothing of that, of sickness or bad stuff, comes from God in that sense. It's authored by the devil. And what's our job? Jesus' job, 1 John 3:8, was to destroy the works of the devil. So we have that commission. And that's not just sickness, that's all sorts of things. For God is with him. Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Those are the seven spirits of God. And the anointing, as we're going to look at, is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you all of us pretty much have experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, but are we walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? You see, we've got to have both, according to the Bible. The church has got to be operating in both. We need to be saying to each other, you know, when did you last operate in power? You know, we're accountable to each other on some levels, but how accountable are we to some of the things that are less comfortable? I know that I myself find it difficult to be accountable to things which I find tough, but we should be, because we're honoring the Lord. It's a praise offering when we do things like that. We're walking in obedience. Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, what? Keep my commands. And we're very quick, a lot of us, including myself, sometimes to say, well, I love God. But then when I don't do what it says in his rule book, in his guide for my life, in his hugely exciting adventure plan for my life. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This is it's one of those well-known verses that's used a lot and should be. But we don't necessarily live it. We do live by power and might in the West. We live by, as I've suggested, quite man-made models for doing church. We're not really sold out, and I include myself in this, crying out for an outpouring of God, praying all night. Some people here were praying all night at the IHOP Center the other day. Really encourage you to go. It's on a Friday night, I think. Are we really throwing our lives on the dependency of the Holy Spirit? Or are we saying, There are better ways. I can do it with my conversation. I can do it with my connections. I can do it with my finances. Jesus is saying through his prophet, not by power, not by might, not by this influence that you have, but by my spirit. If we could just get that, even one of us in this room, if one of us gets that, a whole nation can be changed by one person getting that. The anointing of the Holy Spirit upon their lives, where they're dependent on it, where they're dependent on that power, that presence, that abiding of his seven spirits. Jesus walked with the Spirit without measure, the seven spirits all resting upon him. Always good to testify a little bit. I'm on a journey, but I feel like I can teach to a degree and impart because of what God's shown me. And what I've seen is simply not being taught in the body of Christ. So I feel it my responsibility to teach what I don't see being taught, what I know is true. Amen. That's our job. That's all this is. Some of us have teaching gifts. Some of us are called into that realm. And that's all I want to do. I want to impart what God's given me, because actually, I want other people to get it. And God help me, them to go higher. John 14:12, if you believe in Jesus, you'll do greater things than me. That's the Father anointing, which I'm trying to walk in. It's difficult. But I also want more myself. If you give it away, you get more. Freely receive, freely give. And as you give away revelation, you open yourself up to more. And I just thank God for the road that he's taken me on in terms of learning some of these things and seeing some of these things. And I do meet people all the time who say, I wish I'd known about this earlier. I wish I'd known about this person earlier. Some people, they've been 15 years in the Lord, and they're getting hold of truths, and they're going, why did no one tell me this? That's abuse, spiritual abuse, isn't it? And you know what? As teachers, we'll be more accountable. You see, this is where we need the fear of God. The book of James says, don't be a teacher easily. But I want to be a teacher, and I do it. I pray in the fear of God, because I will be accountable for every idle word I speak before the Lord, because our words are so powerful. Our words are creative and destructive all the time. It doesn't change. Proverbs 18:21. Love and honor your tongue. Love what you speak to one person in that shopping queue. You can change their life. You probably have changed lots of people's lives without knowing it. In fact, entire family trees. That's good, isn't it? It's always good, the generational blessing. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit in a fairly conservative church on an Alpha weekend. It was lovely. It was glorious. I started to cry, sort of tried to stop it so no one saw. My knees went all wobbly. It was, you know, it was just amazing. I felt God say, I love you. I've been here all the time. I'm so glad you've come home. And I just knew God was real. And actually, I had a hand touch my shoulder, which I was either an angel or Jesus. That's cool. Because no, I expressly wanted no one to pray for me. And I was in this place, and they said, no one will pray for you if you don't, unless you have your hands out like this. And I was at the back of the room, and I was firmly down like this. I didn't want to even want to see anyone. I didn't want people to see that I was even praying. I was so full of pride and fear. But this hand touched my shoulder. I was filled with the fire of God straight away. It went straight down. Then the hand lifted off. Then it went on again. The fire of God went down again. That's cool. That's what God has for us, you see. That's the infilling. And then I went back to my pastor a few days later, and I said, I had this amazing thing happen on Saturday. Can I get that again, that feeling of the Spirit, of God's presence? And I was told possibly in the next 5 or 10 years it may happen. That's what I was told. So I was like, oh, at least it'll happen again. Oh, that's good. I can hopefully look forward to having it again. Anyway, I felt led to go to another church and went on an Alpha weekend about a year later. And actually, in the meantime, I was on a TV show in America for 5 months, growing a beard, living in the year 1628 as a TV experiment. But we were allowed our Bibles because we were mimicking the Pilgrim Fathers. So we had doublets on and all this stuff, and we were being filmed. But we were allowed our Bible. So I felt it was from the Lord, so I went on it. And I had my Bible. But it was a really tough 5 months for lots of different reasons. We were cut off from all our friends, family, and, you know, it was all about living the life they would have lived. But it was tough, but I had no real relationship with the Holy Spirit. I did have the Word, thank God. But if I'd had the Holy Spirit, you see, I was denied that. I was denied it. And actually, there were some liberal Christians there who tried to really even dampen what little zeal I had without the Holy Spirit. Started telling me that if, you know, that Buddha was fine, that Allah was fine, depends on which part of the world you're from, God speaks through different ways. I was just a mess at the end of it. Anyway, I then went to another church, went on an Alpha weekend, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, praise God, and that really started to change things. And then I started to get baptized by myself every day, pray in tongues. And I mean, that was it. The rest is kind of history. That was stage two. You see, a lot of people have not even got to stage one. So many haven't got to stage two. And then, I mean, you know, stages, I'm using the term loosely. And then once I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I became very challenged by what I read in the Bible and what I saw happening or not happening in the church. We should all reach that stage with integrity. Holy Spirit should be speaking to all of us about what is missing in our lives as a body of Christ in this land, which is why you're on this course, I'm sure. And so I started to go to different churches. I went to Nigeria, the guy called Prophet T.B. Joshua, to see miracles there. I started going to conferences, because I was hungry to see if what I read in the Bible as my morning devotion stood up to the test. We should all be testing the Word of God. We should all be having that battle. Proverbs 25:2, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of a king to search it out. How many kings are there here? How many queens are there who are actually seeking and jostling with God about why is life like this, or why aren't I seeing this? God hides himself, and he wants us to seek out these truths. You know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be satisfied. If we're not hungry, we need to pray for hunger. We need to say, God, I'm sorry, I'm not hungry. I'm lukewarm. I'm kind of coasting. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. I want to be blessed. I want to be poor in spirit. That's a bold prayer. But blessed are those who are poor in spirit, because they get what? They get satisfied again. They inherit the kingdom of God. You know, so often I want the flat screen, I want the nice sofa, and I want it all sorted, so I can just be, I'm just sorted. I've got the pad, I've got my car, I can go and see my mates, have a gorgeous steak and kidney pie. I'm not saying any of these things are wrong. I'm just saying suddenly you get to the end of that and you're like, I'm just bored. I'm so bored. I'm so dry. Why did no one talk about God over lunch? What's wrong with us all? And that's my conscience battling and my spirit, but it's because there's more in me and it's somehow not being satisfied. But if you keep saying no, then you're in trouble. Then it's like you move away completely and you don't want it at all, and it's almost we all know what it feels like. But I get an unrest if I'm not touching heaven daily to some degree. And my soul feels dry. My flesh yearns, as David said in Psalm 63, yearns for the Spirit of God, cries out. And I say, God, you're my God. I'm sorry I made this my God tonight. I go back and I get on my knees sometimes in my room. I say, God, you are my God. And I came across a guy called Todd Bentley, who most of you will have heard of probably from the Lakeland Revival. And he has an incredible anointing and impartation for really our generation. He's just mightily touched by God. End of story. He's a broken man in many ways. God uses broken vessels. But I tell you, he's beginning to preach again since Lakeland, and he's still anointed. And that's just the end of it. It's the end of it. It's God's anointing. He can put it on whoever he wants. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And I honor the anointing. And we're going to learn to cherish and honor the anointing, whoever it's on. Whether it's on a donkey or whether it's on a human being with a beard and lots of tattoos. Doesn't matter. It's God's anointing. And we must honor it and fear it. And we must never, ever touch the Lord's anointed and curse the Lord's anointed. We will be in a lot of trouble. And we do that. And I have done it. And actually, we're all anointed to that degree. But there are some who are picked and chosen. And the devil wants us to touch them and sow discord amongst those on them. And the devil wants us to curse them with our words. And Todd, that's happened a lot to Todd Bentley. But I want the anointing. You see, I can't live without the anointing. I certainly can't preach without the anointing. And I'll give up. I won't do it. I'll go and do something else. Forget it. And I learned the anointing through Todd Bentley. He said it's all about the presence of God. It's all about intimacy with God. It's all about tending your lamp before the Lord. It's all about his fire coming on us. That's the key to this whole course. It's the key to Christianity. Well, it is the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. You know, if we really love the Lord with all our hearts and all our minds, he's got to be our priority. And if he isn't, because we find him boring, we need to really question that. And I'm not saying anyone does, but they might do. They might find it difficult to spend time with the Lord. And that's okay. We've all been there. And I go there regularly. But then I remember. And I go, what was I doing? It says in Psalm 27, one thing I've desired. One thing. David was a normal human being. He knew, though, his spirit said one thing. But his flesh was saying, no, no, not those things. That's the battle we're in, the flesh versus the spirit. And so I learned a little bit about spending time with the Lord. And I have to say that I did love spending time with the Lord. I did have an agenda. My agenda was righteous in many ways. I saw the fact that God was using this man and people were being changed and saved and set free and healed. And I thought to myself, I want a life like that. I want to stack up treasure in heaven. By the way, did you know God is a God of reward? Do you know he really is? We get saved. We're all saved by the blood of Jesus. We get access to heaven. But rewards is totally different. Did you know that? Some people sort of think, well, no, it's all sort of muddled in together. It's not. Our rewards will be separate. And if you read the beginning of Matthew 6, you'll see that God honors and gives reward. He's a big God of reward. In fact, I think he says about 5 or 6 times, it's not in this teaching, but if you read the beginning of Matthew 6, you'll see God loves to give reward. Hebrews 11:6, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. Who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Every bit of diligence, every decision we make, is rewarded by God, because he's a God of reward, because he's a God of justice. And most things, by the way, that are rewarded are those things that aren't seen. If you read the beginning of Matthew 6, all of it's about not being seen. That's interesting, isn't it? That's the upside down kingdom. And I was just really challenged by this guy who had 3 drug overdoses and he was changing the world. And I thought, crumbs, what am I doing? And so I spent time with the Lord, and things started to happen in my ministry. I started to move in a different, I started to move in a bit more power. I started to move in a bit more anointing. I started to move in a bit more kingdom authority. I started to do things. I set up Now Believe. It came out of that season. So I spent time with the Lord. Bang, a website started. You know, somehow I had the balls to spend quite a lot of money on a website when other people were going on holiday. In fact, I'll tell you a story. I was on a skiing holiday in Zermatt when Now Believe was conceived. I couldn't even ski. I couldn't enjoy skiing because I was so burdened by something that was going on in my spirit. And it was difficult, actually, because I was on this skiing holiday with friends, and I had to keep going back or sort of be alone and a bit awkward, and, you know, it's difficult. But I was just so, something was wrong. I was in a, this is the classic thing about God, and we'll all have touched this. I was in a beautiful resort in Zermatt, in one of the top chalets, and I wasn't happy, except in the presence of God. And that's when was conceived on that holiday. And I didn't care anymore about, you know, spending the money on something else. So I didn't care. Something had changed in me. We're going to look at the fact that the anointing changes you. It totally changes you. You become a different person. Saul was anointed, and it says in black and white, he became a different person. This is what the anointing does to us, because it's the power of God coming upon us. It's the smearing. It's God coming up next to you. It's the fire of God coming into you and changing you. And by the way, changing you in a brilliant and glorious way and bringing you into the destiny that he has for you, that he always did have for you, to be a world changer, to be a people changer, to destroy works of darkness everywhere you go. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine, according to the power, the Holy Ghost, the anointing within you. Ephesians 3:20. You couldn't even imagine how big it is, because such is the influence that we have. You could change one person's life and that becomes part of your testimony, which links into someone else's testimony in heaven. But then what happens in their life becomes part of your testimony. That's the immeasurably more, at least that's part of it. When I try and conceive of it, it's a huge potential we're talking about. Just by spending a bit of time with God and getting the fire of God on you. And then I want to tell you the final stage that happened with me where I really caught a glimpse of the anointing. I went out to America for about five months or so, and I went on what was called a supernatural mentoring program. And I was up a mountain in an amazing place, beautiful place, a place called Moravian Falls, where I was interested by this place because a lot of prophets live there and have visitations, and I was just intrigued by the place. The Moravians prayed there for 100 years at some stage, and it was just renowned for having an open heaven. So I went out there, it was far less structured than I had hoped. I hoped it would be quite structured, there would be quite a lot of teaching. There would be I was the first mentee, so there was no one else out there, and I was up a mountain in a chalet to myself. And I would wake up in the morning and there was nothing to do. And I would be waiting for sort of some sort of course or some kind of lesson or something, but there was basically nothing. And so I started to manifest quite a lot. You know, I started to get quite angry, and I couldn't really deal with it. It was really difficult. Partly through poor expectation management, but also because I couldn't stand the fact that I wasn't doing something, and I was at a key age in my life where I ought to be sort of really getting things together, and I was up a mountain and it didn't make sense. It was horrendous, and I thought about leaving, and I got angry with the people running it and said, why isn't there anything going on? There's no structure. And they just sort of nodded quietly, and it was difficult because that was like, what? You can't just nod or sort of say, I know. It was really difficult. And they said, well, you know, that's part of it, to, you know, spend time with the Lord. I said, I can't just spend time with the Lord. You know, it's just impractical. Words like that. Wow. That's huge, isn't it? Impractical. Wow. You see, coming out of that Greek mindset, that traditional upbringing where it's just, you know, you've got your 3 lessons before morning tea, your 2 before lunch, football off. Richard's laughing, football off. You know, just that kind of structure, that kind of, you know, I just get up and I've got this and this, and then I'm on the phone, I'm checking my voicemail, and we've just got so much stuff in our days. It's frightening to me sometimes. God, you know, God be praised, I was out there and all this stuff I had to face, and a lot of these issues I had to face and deal with before the Lord, and I realized he started to do a deep work in me. I started to become better at just being, just letting go, just, you know, the sort of panic of what am I doing just started to subside, and I just became more at peace with it. It's weird, it's hard to describe, but stuff just came off me, I guess, just the issues and the... And I started to spend more time with the Lord. And actually, I was so visited by God that I would spend hours in the Bible. Not through wanting to be in the Bible, because I wasn't very good at being in the Bible. I actually was better at listening to talks, things like that. But what would happen is God would visit me with a word, and then I'd spend 4 hours in the Bible. I wouldn't be able to stop. Sometimes, just to give you a picture, I'd still be in my boxer shorts from having got up. Because I'd get, the word of God would come on me as I was making a cup of tea, and I'd be there for 4 hours. No breakfast, nothing. It was exciting. Suddenly I was getting revelation. I didn't even know what revelation was before then, because I'd done everything up here. I've been taught and trained to do everything up here. Now there's a place for the mind, don't get me wrong. God says love with all, God with all your mind, and he's given us teaching. But I hadn't understood revelation. I'd never been taught revelation. It's a spirit, it's a gift. Peter spoke out of revelation when he named the Messiah in Matthew 16. He said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, my Father in heaven. Revelation. Revelation came into him. That's what we need. And actually, the Bible says that in the latter days, we're going to get new revelation that's been hidden until now. You've all had revelation. Even coming to Jesus is revelation. It's a gift. But we need to operate, and we need to say, God, give me the spirit of revelation every day. So I started to move in a bit of revelation. The first time I really felt the anointing, and we're going to go into this, I'm going to explain a little bit about the anointing, then we're going to break into small groups and talk about some of this stuff, was towards the end of my stay. I was invited, we went to Colombia, and we were in a prison. That was really exciting, to go to a prison in Colombia, because it's Colombia's an interesting place anyway, but to go to a drug, you know, a drug dealer's prison in Colombia was just made my day, made my week. It was just cool, you know. It was hardcore, and we were at a meeting there. It was a Christian meeting, there's an ex drug dealer there who was going to give his testimony, and we were really just there to minister, maybe pray for a few of us, about 10 of us on this trip. But then he suddenly said, this guy, this ex drug dealer who was there, this Colombian, said, does anyone from the team want to give their testimony or give a short word? And we'd been worshipping in this prison, in the open courtyard with all the prisoners sitting around sort of the edge. A bit of it was cordoned off for the Christian bit, the sort of worship center. But then it was an open wall into the courtyard with all these extremely swarthy, shady-looking people sitting around in string vests. And the power of God fell so strongly. And anyone who's done prison ministry will know that the Holy Spirit falls so strongly in prisons. There's just something about it, isn't there, Pete? There's something about the grace of God on these people who are incarcerated physically. Anyway, I mean, stronger than I had felt Holy Spirit in a long time. And the moment he said, does anyone want to give a word? I said, yes. And I didn't know what it was. He said, come to the front. And I just thought of a word. I just thought of John 14:6. That's all. I didn't need a word. I didn't need a verse. I was so full of something that I had to let it out. But I didn't. I was just coming into this whole realm of ministry. The anointing, the boldness. It's a supernatural thing that comes on you. It's an impregnation. You see, the word of God is what? It's a seed, isn't it? It's a sperma that comes into you. and impregnates you, and you've got to birth it out. And I guess a bit of that had been going on. And I got up there, and I took the microphone. There were about 30 prisoners in the bit that we were ministering in, and possibly 150 sitting around the wall watching us, kind of mocking us. And I unfolded the microphone, so it was at full length. And I walked out as far as I could into the courtyard, and I commanded everyone to come in and listen to the word of God, be saved or face the fire of hell. I couldn't believe what was going on. I mean, I'd never had this experience in my life. I'd never had such authority and boldness. It was weird. In fact, the team were so shocked, the American team, who were in the front row, that their heads were like this. I looked down and they were like, and it didn't deter me either. I was like a wild ox, and there's a verse in here about the anointing that makes that comparison. And I came away from it, and I preached for maybe 10, 15 minutes, gave a bit of my testimony, but I just tasted something new again, you see. I tasted another level of the power of God, which is the anointing of God. I hadn't prepared anything, but you see, the preparation wasn't up here with a notebook and pen. It was up the mountain. So I have that living testimony in my life. I can testify to the truth of that. And I delivered something. I tell you, when I commanded them to come in, about, maybe, well, the whole room was full. The whole bit that was there was filled with people. Maybe 30 or 40 people came in, just walked in. It was unbelievable. I mean, it really was unbelievable to me. I mean, I was elated, of course, but I wasn't even have time to be elated. I was so full of something. I just preached and preached and preached and preached and preached. I then pretty much did an altar. I think, I can't remember if I did an altar call there, or there was certainly one after someone else gave a word. And the amount of people that came up, it was just the power of God was in that place. You know, cutting asunder the word of God, soul and spirit. People were convicted. I would never have had the guts to do that. Never. I wouldn't have even wanted to do that. I wouldn't have even planned it. No one really wanted it. It was too much. It could have caused a riot, or maybe I could have been beaten up. I don't know. But it didn't. There wasn't time to think of. This is what I'm talking about, you see. This is what is going to happen to some of you in your lives. Now, not necessarily in the same way in your workplace, but you'll find something will come on you in the boardroom. In you know, at the nightclub, whatever it is, you'll have a boldness and an authority and a grace and an unction that will be supernatural. And that's what God is wanting to give us by his anointing. That's what he's wanting to give us. That's what he's wanting to give the whole church. That's what we see in the book of Acts. We're going to look at some of these verses. So the history of the anointing, we're going to have to go. Okay, no. The anointing is the power of the Holy Ghost. We've looked at that. Micah 3:8, but truly I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might. We're on page 2. To declare to Jacob his transgression. How do you declare sin? How do you call sin sin? How do you have that fear of God? How do you have that, I don't care what you think, by the Spirit of might, which comes by the Spirit of God? I really encourage you. I know that people have so many resources in the West and you've got so many books you want to read, but this is the Word of God, so this is, read it. Read the verses. This is the history. It's important for us to know where this has come from. You'll see that the priests were anointed with oil, with the physical oil. You'll see that everything was anointed with oil. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You can splash oil on anything. I encourage you to splash oil on your car, to anoint the walls of your house. Just anoint your checkbook. Just in faith, anoint the oil. Pray over the oil and anoint everything. Anoint people's heads. Anoint parts of people's body. Just anoint things. It's New Testament as well as Old Testament. Okay? The anointing. We need it. You know, in the Old Testament, the kings had a whole flask of oil poured over them. Andrew Piarks, who is coming to speak at an I Believe event this weekend, which you're all welcome to, was visiting a guy days off death. He was being riddled and eaten by cancer. I mean, multiple forms of cancer. The guy was a scary wreck in his bed. I mean, it was horrible, apparently. And he just went to the local shop, bought a tub of vegetable oil, poured the whole thing over his hospital bed like this, because he had to get to a meeting, and left. and commanded healing in the name of Jesus. The guy was totally restored and healed from that moment onwards of all the cancer. It just left. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it is.
The source, you see? The source, just pouring the source on, pouring the oil of the Holy Spirit on in that act of faith. Anointing is throughout the Bible, and I just encourage you to say, Lord, teach me about the anointing. Show me what it is. What is it? Psalm 23, we all know that word. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. We need to be running over with the power and the presence of God. And anointing is for everyone, okay, and it's for every task. The anointing is the power of the Holy Spirit for any given thing. Now, all of you are called into different places in life. You're called to have different ministries. You should be saying to God, I want to be anointed in what I'm doing. Okay, you could be anointed as a politician. You could be anointed as a teacher. In fact, you should be, better way of putting it. Whatever it is you're doing, be anointed in it. And actually, I want to encourage you to find your anointing. Find where it is. There's a grace on your life. You'll feel it. There's an unction. There's a grace, how can I put it? The power of God comes on you in the place where you minister, because we're all ministers. Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. We need to have that power. Okay, it's for everyone. And without that power, without that presence of the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. That's a big one. We need to be saying this about our lives. Lord, I can't do anything without you. I'm achieving nothing of eternal value without you, without your ordination. God ordains our lives. All of our lives. They've been, you know, the days of our lives have been preordained and written in the books. And he's given us a purpose. And we need his anointing to fulfill that. Okay, so why must you have the anointing? We've looked at, well, it brings the power of God. The anointing changes you. There's that verse, there's that passage about Saul. He was turned into another man. This is what we're talking about. Jesus was turned into another man. When the Spirit of God fell on him, in Matthew chapter 3, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit fell on him. He was changed. He was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He still wasn't operating in power. He then came out of the wilderness and he was operating in power. We need to operate in power. The anointing brings the supernatural healing, deliverance, and miracle power of God. I'm going to go quite quickly through these because I want to spend a bit of time on something else before we stop. The anointing brings the love and compassion of God. This is a big one. You know, we love because he first loved us. We only can operate in second commandment unless once we've been in first commandment. That's the order. So we need to get to a place where we say, Lord, you know, show me how to love. And yes, it's a choice. Yes, love is a decision, but it's also an anointing. It comes out of of God's love smearing on us and us going out into the world with this compassion that does make us cry, that does give us, you know, really soft hearts for people who are in difficulty. You know, I'm just that excites me, operating out of a love that's given to me from God. The anointing brings the fear of God and the conviction of sin. We'll talk a bit more about the fear of God, but we must have the fear of God. We must cry out for the fear of God. The book of Proverbs says, be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. So that every day we must ask, Lord, give me the fear of you. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, as we know. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's pure. We need to have that. And the anointing brings the fear of God, Isaiah 11. And it also convicts people of sin, the anointing. You can't be convicted of sin apart from the Holy Spirit. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And we do need to be convicted of sin. We need to be walking about as ministers of God, when we preach the gospel, people are convicted that they need to be saved. What must I do to be saved? And Peter preached, and there's some verses on this in here. He said, be saved from this perverse, this sinful and perverse generation. We live in a sinful and perverse generation. Sometimes we think Peter is this kind of crazy apostle. No, he just operated in the anointing. He'd been affected at Pentecost and he was a changed man. He went from coward, denying Jesus three times, to be saved from this sinful and perverted generation. That's the anointing of God on him. And 3,000 were saved that day, and the whole world was changed. Turned upside down, the Bible says, by this group of people. This is the anointing. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we need. We need to be, as it says in the follow-up discussion, we need to be saying to our fellow Christians, when were you last baptized in the Holy Spirit? We need to be exhorting them. We need to be saying, have you even been baptized in the Holy Spirit? The anointing brings personal breakthrough and corporate breakthrough. As you start to operate in the anointing, as you start to break through in your life, in areas, and have victory, start things, move in different things, you'll bring a corporate breakthrough as well. What does that mean? That means other people will break through into their destinies. How many of you want that? How many of you want to see everyone operating as, you know, influential people? The head, not the tail. Living in victory, not in defeat all the time. Not always depressed, not always ill, not always in fear. A lot of the church is in fear, depressed, ashamed of Jesus. Gossip, whatever it is. Being defeated in different areas of their life. And we need to get breakthrough in all of these areas. And as you get breakthrough in something, there's an impartation. And that breakthrough will come to your friends. Breakthrough will come to different people. The anointing enables preaching. You can't even preach without the anointing. We need to be people who we're going to learn about what preaching is. Preaching is not teaching. Preaching is not explaining. Preaching is proclaiming. Preaching has an authority to it. The Greek word is kerux. We've lost sight of this as a church. It's very rare that I hear preachers these days. Kerux is a herald, page 9, a herald or messenger vested with public authority, who conveyed the official messages of kings. You see, we're conveying the message of the King of Kings. And some of us are apologizing. We're ashamed of the Holy One of Israel, the Lord of Hosts, the Great I Am, the Man of War, the Alpha and the Omega. We don't think we have a right to preach his message. We must be quiet. We must be tolerant. We must be careful with his message. We must change it a little bit. Like his word can't stand up for itself. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach. Holy Spirit anointed Jesus Christ to preach and proclaim the good news. You can't do it without the anointing. You cannot, just don't bother. You're just not going to have any fruit. You're not, if you give talks, if you just get the anointing and preach and proclaim. Get the anointing and teach. Get the anointing and have, you know, and cause breakthrough in your place of work. Official messages of kings, magistrates, princes, military commanders, or gave a public summons or demand. Giving a public summons or demand, how does that sound like the book of Acts? It does, doesn't it? Giving a public summons to salvation. Publicly, not behind closed doors. Not hiding. Publicly, out in the open. We've got to go to some of these bits in Acts because they're too exciting. All right, let's go to the anointing brings authority and boldness. Now look at this. Okay. Verse, page 11. Acts 4. And being let go. Okay, so they'd just been let out of prison. They went to their own companions and reported all that chief priests and elders said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth. Good way to start any prayer, isn't it? And the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, etc. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Sorry, to do whatever your hand and your... Oh, I missed something. Now, verse 29. Now look on their threats. They've just been locked up. They've probably just been beaten. They're saying, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they speak your word. They've come out of prison. They're saying, I want to go straight out there and do it again. This has got to challenge us. This has got to make us say to ourselves, what am I doing? What's my part in this? We, you know, the latter house is greater than the former house. We should be operating in greater things in the book of Acts. We've got to say to ourselves before God, Lord, help us. God, give us hunger. God, make us these witnesses so that we are, you know, with the pride of heaven, with a beautiful bride. We've got to come to a place where we look at this honestly. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, there's the correlation. The place was shaken, the Holy Spirit came. God responds to faith. God responds to sacrifice. Fire falls on sacrifice, doesn't it? Doesn't fall on anything else. They'd just been in prison, and they're saying, God, I need more. I've got to have more. I've got to go out there again. Look at this, Acts 5:25. Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. They've just been in prison and they're in the temple teaching the people. There's a brazenness about it. There's a complete lack of apology about it. We shouldn't be apologizing for the only message of salvation. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And we have that answer. We have that word within us to give out, to give away. Okay, so there's many more there. Right, we're going to come into land now. There's so much good stuff here, but... particularly the fire and the passion. The anointing brings the zeal of God. The anointing brings gladness. The anointing brings joy. The anointing brings life. And as you start to operate in the anointing and have and see the power of God operating through you, you'll have all that comes with it. The anointing is addictive. It's gorgeous. It's glorious. It's heaven on you. It's another win-win. I love this from Jesus in Luke 12, page 15. I came to send fire on the earth. Don't you like that? Just as a statement. Jesus came to send fire on the earth. This is Jesus. This is our Lord. That's why we cry out for his fire. It's very rarely preached on. I don't know why. I don't get it. I don't get it. And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it's accomplished. There was a distress in Jesus to accomplish that for which he was sent. There are dreams in your heart that distress you. In fact, watch out for what distresses you. Watch out for what makes you angry. Watch out, because it's probably the baptism you need to be baptized with. I love this, Jeremiah 28, verse 8 to 9. Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. This is Jeremiah. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. The bittersweet. Okay. Now, we're just going to end again. There's a bit on honoring the anointing there. Sow into the anointing. What does that mean? You see some anointing on someone, on something, sow into it. Where you sow, you reap. If you want the anointing in your life, honor it in someone else, pray for it, and sow into it. How do you get the anointing? Well, we've looked at that. You spend time with the Lord. You have the story of Mary and Martha. I was Martha before I went up the mountain, then I had a Mary season forced upon me. It's really worthwhile. It was the better part. I just agree with Jesus again. I just encourage you to put things down, to be intentional about your time with the Lord. Turn your phone off, close the door, turn off your email. Have a date night with Jesus, whatever it is. Secure a night with him. Actively tell a friend you're busy if you haven't spent time with the Lord. This is how we worship him with everything within us. We put him first. Acts 4 verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. You see, it's not about education. It's not about training. It's not about gifting. They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Again, there's that correlation. You want to wow the society you live in. You want the leaders and the kings of this Western age to marvel, to bend their knee to God. Be with Jesus. That's all it is. It's that anointing that rubs off on you. That's all we need to do to be victorious in our generation. That's all we need to do to make the atheist marvel, to make the pagan marvel, to cause the splash and the impact that we need to impact this world with, this nation with. Just be with Jesus. That's all we need to do. The rest will come out of us, like I've explained. It'll just happen. You know, seek his face, don't seek his hand. Have a pure heart as you do it. Lord, search me and know me. Try me, know my anxieties. See if there's a wicked way in me. What's our intention? But there's a righteous intention that is impregnating his body, which is that we can't stand for this anymore. We can't stand for this society of Sodom and Gomorrah that we're living in. We can't stand for it. We can't stand to see the devil have any more victories. Why don't we stand? Let's stand and pray. Thank you, Lord. Just come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. I really feel like the Lord is just stirring up excitement and hunger. And Lord, I pray that you would send the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you concerning these things, Lord. I thank you for your great excitement over your children. I thank you for your great pride. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us such an awesome purpose on this earth for such a time as this. What an amazing time to be alive, to have influence, to have impact, to be saving messages, to be saving words from heaven. I thank you that each of us is a word from heaven. Lord, I thank you that we are a message to our generation. And I thank you, Lord, that we get to do it with you. I thank you for the incredible privilege to carry your anointing. I thank you, Lord, so much for this supernatural lifestyle that you call us into. I thank you for the angels, Lord. I thank you for the power that you want us to carry. The power, the influence, Lord, all the different things, the fire, the zeal, the compassion. I thank you, Lord, that it's your grace, that it comes upon us, Lord, by your by us just hanging out with the lover of our souls. I thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, over all of us, Lord, I pray that you would release an anointing to just spend time with you. Lord, I pray you would give us divine hunger. Lord, I pray you would stir us out of apathy, Lord. I pray you'd stir us out of idolatry, God. Convict us of anything we need to put away, Lord, that's wasting time. And Lord, I pray for a release of excitement. Lord, I pray for a release of passion. I pray for a release of curiosity, Lord, of that seeking and that searching heart, Lord. I pray for release right now, even in the feet, of the pilgrim spirit, Lord, the pilgrim spirit, Lord, and that Joshua anointing of taking new ground, Lord, taking new ground, Lord, and new authority in our feet, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Bless us, Lord, as we go, as we talk this stuff through. Bless us as we read this, as we read the verses, as we meditate on it, Lord. I just pray, be with us as we deal with some of this stuff, as we work out what that means for us, Lord. And I pray and I thank you that your burden is light, your yoke is easy, Lord. It's glorious. You are glorious. You are gorgeous. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Holy Spirit. Yes, God. We just, whoa, yes, God. Yes, God. We just say yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Cool, guys. There's cakes, biscuits, there's tea. If you need to go, go. But please stay and go into, we're going to have some group time. We're going to just talk a few things over. And yeah, we're out in the streets tomorrow, 7 p.m. Brewer Street, if you can make it. If you can't, no worries. We'll be going out other weeks. But you're welcome. And Andrew Piox, you're welcome to as well. If you need to know information on that, get in touch.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Now Believe podcast. We'd love to see you at the Growing in the Supernatural course. For more details, please email talk@nowbelieve.com.